Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The book of Hebrews reveals Jesus as a great high priest, a mediator between God and those who believe. Though sinless, he was sympathetic to the temptations we all experience. Today, more on our wonderful intercessor. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks again on the gift of an intercessor.
All right, first of all, Jesus is sinless. Secondly, he is sympathetic. He's sympathetic. We read it there in chapter 4 when it says, "We do not have a high priest." This is verse 15, I think. "Who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has in every respect been tempted as we are, yet without sin." He can sympathize with us, tempted in all points. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Jesus experienced every single temptation that human beings ever would experience. That's not possible. For example, he'd have never experienced the temptation that perhaps a woman has, because Jesus wasn't a woman or a married man. And so what it means is that Jesus experienced the essence of temptation for all of us. And what was the essence of temptation? We see in the book of Matthew that the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove upon Jesus, and the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately after that, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he's tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, just like we are. But his temptation always, remember this about the devil, his great desire is to separate you from fellowship with the Father. He doesn't care what sin it is. What he wants to do is to make you question God's goodness. He did this in the Garden of Eden. You know, would a good God restrict you so that you can't eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden? Of course not. A good God wouldn't do that. A good God wouldn't restrict you the way he does morally and in other ways. And so what you want to do is to argue against the goodness of God and drive a wedge between you and God. That's why Satan is a splitter. He wants to split you from God. Jesus experienced that. But because he was pure, he experienced that in a way that you and I will never have to experience it, with a tremendous amount of pressure. None of us, for example, have ever been in such agony that we have sweat drops of blood. But Luke says Jesus did that. So he experienced the great trials and the great pressures. You say, could he have sinned? No, I don't believe that Jesus could have sinned, for the obvious reason that his deity and his humanity were united in such a way that he could not have sinned as man without also tainting the divine nature. They were brought together in a way by which he couldn't sin. But yet, he experienced the temptations powerfully, and that's why he can sympathize with us. That's what the scripture says. Jesus feels your pain. You know, if you had two pianos together, and you hit middle C on one piano, and there's another piano in the room, the other will pick up that kind of resonance, that kind of a sympathetic resonance. Jesus picks up on your pain. And he can say, "I know what the temptation is. I know what the trials are. I have been through all that. And I understand in a very special way what you are enduring." So the cries on earth have sympathy, resonance, if you please, in heaven. That's why when the Apostle Paul, you remember, was accosted on the way to Damascus, Jesus came to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You persecute my church, you are hurting me. And throughout the world today, where there is persecution of Christians, Jesus is entering into their pain, into their loss, into their loneliness, because he knows what it's like experientially to go through pain and loss and difficulty. So Jesus here is saying to us, as we think about him, we've covered two characteristics. First of all, he is sinless, and secondly, he is sympathetic. By the way, these four characteristics all begin with a letter S. Normally, they don't in my sermons, but today they do. Just happens that it fell out that way. You know, the sermon came down from heaven already made. Wouldn't that be easy if it did? He's sinless, he's sympathetic, he's sacrificial. Now notice what the text says in 7:23. We're again back in 7. It says that the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death. Death has a way of ending your career. By the way, if you ever meet somebody who's complaining about old age, encourage them by reminding them that old age does come to an end. Yeah, it comes to an end. They were prevented from living forever because of death, and so there had to be many priests. So one of the contrasts is between many priests and this high priest who lives forever, as the text says. And it's not just that, it's many sacrifices. They offered many sacrifices. And Jesus, you have to read these verses for yourself, but in verse 27 of this passage, it says that he offered himself once for all because his was the final sacrifice and the only sacrifice that really took away sins, and all the other sacrifices pointed toward it. So Jesus is the sacrificing intercessor, the third characteristics. And the other is this, that all the other priests stood. There were no chairs at the altar. And so they worked in three shifts of 8 apiece, that is to say 8 hours apiece. Because if you were to sit down, that would imply that your work was done. But God wanted to say, in the Old Testament, your work is never done because there's this river of sin that needs to be taken care of continually, and so it is what it is. And Jesus sat down. I've mentioned this before, but again, you should keep these things in your mind so that you can witness to people and answer some of their objections. You don't have to answer all of them. But if somebody says to you, well, you know, this idea of demanding a sacrifice, other gods demanded that too. You can go on the internet and you can see it. The answer that you need to give to people is simply this, that there is no other religion in which God becomes the sacrifice. This is so critical that Jesus not only was the priest, priests offered sacrifices. Jesus, the text tells us here at the end of verse 27, once for all offered himself. He becomes the sacrifice. You know, sheep often lay down their lives for the shepherd. This is the one instance in which the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is the blood of Christ, which takes away the sin of the world. So we have Jesus sinless. We have him sympathetic. We have him sacrificial, and now it's very critical he is seated at the right hand of God. Why is that important? Listen, if you had a dispute with the President of the United States, you could say, well, Mr. President, we have this dispute. I am bringing my own mediator to help us negotiate this. I think the President would say, no, that's not... That's not acceptable. If we're going to have a mediator, and sometimes it's good, I'm going to supply the mediator. So not any old mediator is going to do. It is God who is going to supply that mediator, and that mediator has a right to be the mediator because after his work was done, he was taken to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, it's very interesting that in the Old Testament, when a priest was going to offer the final sacrifice, or when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, as he did on one day a year, he had to basically go through three entrances. The first entrance got him into the court of the people, the general court, and then there was an entrance into what we call the holy place. And then there was the curtain, and he had to go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was. And what the Bible says is that this Ark of the Covenant and this whole tabernacle is actually a copy of the tabernacle in heaven. That's what it says in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So you see, what Jesus did is when he ascended on high, he went through, first of all, the atmospheric heavens, the birds of the heaven, and then he went through the stellar heavens, where all the stars are, and then he went into the third heaven, which is really the essence of where God dwells. Now, God is everywhere, but there's a sense in which God is localized to one place, and it's that upper heaven that Jesus went to. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course it's difficult for us to understand exactly where Jesus Christ is when we think in terms of space. But what we do know is that his location is at the right hand of God the Father. And that's what excites me about this message, about the gift of an intercessor, the gift of intercession. Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Perhaps you are going through a very difficult time today. Well, you have someone in heaven who is rooting for you, someone who is on your side, someone who represents you to the Father. And in this, you and I can rejoice. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned last time how that I did not really appreciate the understanding of the intercessory work of Jesus until I preached this message. I got a little better understanding of it and how my heart rejoiced. It's very critical that you listen to this next time. But today I want you to also realize that this is part of a larger series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. It's blessings that come to us because we believe in Jesus. I often think of that verse in the book of Romans where it says in chapter 8, "How shall he not also with him give us all things?" And that's how this series of messages came about. I began to meditate on the all things. And so we've talked about the gift of righteousness, the gift of sonship, the gift of the church. We're going to be talking about the gift of security. All of these things come to us because of Jesus. Enjoy them, understand them, and be blessed.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Next time on Running to Win, more from Hebrews chapter 7 on how Jesus, as a priest, did more than offer sacrifices. He himself was the sacrifice. Make plans to join us. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.